God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Sunday, October 23rd, 2022. Beautiful sunny day outside. We like those. Not such a big fan of overcast or blizzardy days. But each and every day is a gift from God. That's why the Bible says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." That's why Paul says, "In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and me." I want to talk this morning about transition, being in transition. And I'm not interested in the modern cultural definition. But transition is going from one state or one condition to another. I was thinking about caterpillars turning into butterflies, that metamorphosis, where they literally turn to goo inside the pupilla, and when they come out, they're different than when they went in. And I would talk about having a changed heart and a changed life. And it's not something we can do on our own to change our nature. But I have a former coworker who, through great personal effort, transformed his body. He was about 350, 360 pound boy, a little taller than I am, probably about 6 foot. Okay, that's a lot taller than I am, but still. I am 5'7", or at least I was before I started shrinking. So, but he was a big boy and got tired of the way he was, and he started off just walking. And he lost his first 120 pounds just by walking before he ever started any exercise routine. And now he's got like one of those 2% body fat. If he'd shave his hairy chest, he could compete in the bodybuilding kind of thing, but made a complete change of his life. Or maybe you're in a job you're not happy with, and you want to be in a different kind of job, but you don't have the skill set to do that. So you look and try to figure out, what changes do I need to make in my life that I can qualify to do this over here, to learn a new skill, to learn something else, that it can be profitable in my life, profitable in our lives. We can do those sort of transitions, but those don't really change who we are. Those don't really change our fundamental makeup. But when we come to Christ, we begin a process. First off, we're changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We are instantly righteous, not having our own righteousness, but the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Yet walking that out sometimes is a process. Sometimes, most of the time, almost every stinking time. Yet God changes us. Romans 12, beginning with verse 1, says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That transform, that transitioning, that transformation, that the process, metamorphosis, that's the word. That being completely different than where you were. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God." How do we transform our mind? We get to know what God's Word says. We get into God's Word and we begin examining ourselves in light of Scripture and not in light of culture. If we examine ourselves in light of culture, I can point out to a whole bunch of people that I'm a whole lot nicer than they are. I can point out to two or three that I'm not as nice as they are. Now, if I knew more people, I could probably point to a whole bunch of them, but I have people come up to me, or I used to, back when I was working and working full-time and been involved in that, and people would come up and say how that I was the nicest person they'd ever met. And I remember thinking, you have led such a sheltered life, I am so sorry for you, because if I'm the nicest person you've ever met, you have had a bad life. Because I know me. Except for Jesus, there is no good in me. But because of Jesus, I'm not the person that I used to be. Because of Jesus, because He is changing me, transitioning me, transforming me, making me new each and every day, people can see me and say, wow, if God can use you, imagine what He can do with me. That's the goal. Scripture tells us that God wants to hold us up as trophies of His grace, that He might demonstrate the measure of His grace to the world around us, that He might show, hey, I fixed that one, let's see what I can do with you. And make people hungry and thirsty for the righteousness, hungry and thirsty for the new life and the new way of being that comes from following a God who loves us, who has His very best, who has our very best in mind. Not necessarily as the world sees it, not necessarily as the world measures success, but God, who is rich in mercy, wants to work in each and every one of our lives. 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 17, Paul says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, transformed, miraculously changed. Not by my own effort, not by your own effort, but because of who He is and because of what His plan is, what He's doing in us. Verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. He's committed to it. He's committed it to us. He has commissioned us to go out and share this word of reconciliation, that God can change your heart. God can change your life. God can just do some miraculous things that you can't even imagine. Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men the things the Lord has prepared for those who love Him. If we can imagine it, we fall short. If I can wrap my mind around the whole concept, I have no clue. Because God has so much more in mind than I can even imagine, than you can even imagine. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Transforming, changing us, transitioning us from this place to that place. The transition of becoming a new creature, of walking out newness of life. The Keith Green song. No compromise. Make my life a prayer. I want to die to myself and let you live through me. I want to tell everybody what you've done in my life. We have that burning desire to share the love of God with people around us, to no longer be inwardly focused, but to be focused on giving glory to God and sharing the greatness of God with the people we encounter. Praise the Lord. Romans 6, beginning with verse 4. Says, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Being different, being transformed, being completely separate from who or what we were. Verse 5, for if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, and we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. But now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we also shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, who has been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. And for the death that he died to sin once for all. And the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, going back to the Word of God, reading the Word of God, examining our lives in light of what the Bible says, and walking in that newness of life, transitioning from who we were to what God has in store for us. Who we were to being those ambassadors of Christ, the living epistles, walking in newness of life, because he continues to change. As Scripture says in one place, that we are changed from glory to glory. That he begins working in us, continues to work in us, and bringing us through. Praise God. Scripture tells us, I'm going to stop right there because I don't remember if I found it, and it's in the notes. You know, when a scripture pops in your head and it wants to come out of your mouth, and I give it once, and I'm like, oh, no, next page. And as I just said 2 minutes ago, walking in newness of life, becoming that new creature that God has called us to be, those that trophies of his grace, the ambassadors of Christ, the living epistles, the examples of what God can do in the world around us, showing and being reconciled to God and having that ministry of reconciliation, sharing it with the people around us. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. So I have little notes in my phone for my next doctor's appointment. How come I can't feel my fingertips? I was communicating with a former coworker this week. She's 1 month younger than I am. And I had mentioned something I've said many times before. I never expected to live to see 30. 62 is looking pretty good. And the person that I was before Jesus got a hold of me was so messed up. Mean, caustic, arrogant. Those are the cleaner of the bad attributes, by the way. And God changed my life. He made me a new creature. And part of this going through this life is recognizing that he has a plan and purpose that doesn't even waste all that mess, but uses that mess as part of a testimony to begin showing the grace and love and mercy of God. God can change my life. He can change yours. I had people tell me many times, I can't go to church. Lightning might strike. Lightning didn't strike me. You're all set. I guarantee it. I can't go to church. Roof might fall in. You know, Jerry's had pieces fall on him 3 different times in 3 different churches, and he still comes. Not big pieces, but chunks of ceiling have hit Jerry going into church 3 different times. And he's willing to go anyway, because it's a life change. When I met Jerry, he was in a really bad way. His wife had just left him, and he was depressed, and he was in a bad state. And just to sit and talk with him, and to lift him up and encourage him, I tell him, he's not alone. There's God who loves him. And to see the hope come back into his life. God wants to use each and every one of us to be lights in the midst of the darkness. And not just big, broad, overall darkness, but the darkness of the soul that each and every person goes through. We're called to be lights in the midst of that darkness too. We're called to encourage one another, lift one another up, strengthen one another. Because God has a plan and purpose for each and every person. It is not His will that any should perish. That's what the Bible says. We believe the Bible to be the perfect, inerrant Word of God. There's some things in there I don't understand. I have question marks in my Bible. But one day I will know even as also I am known. I have that promise too. I don't have to have all the answers. I just have to know the God who has all the answers. Scripture says that we're to understand the Word of God line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. It has to all tie together, and it does. When was it? It was 93. So in 93, I hadn't turned 33 yet, but that was when I came back to the Lord, was in 93. And coming back to the Lord, I began reading and I began understanding and I began to come to the realization that every person I'd ever learned anything from, I'd learned something that I found out later wasn't true. So I began studying the Word of God with a strong, exhaustive concordance and going through it and learning the Word of God for myself. Mentioned before, I grew up in a Pentecostal holiness church, sometimes known as a oneness church or an apostolic church. And they grab onto Acts 2:38, where Peter, on the day of Pentecost, talking to the crowd, and this is not in my notes, but you know that, talking to the crowd, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this promise shall be upon you and upon your children and those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And they grab onto that scripture. How do you baptize? Well, you got to do it this way. That's what Peter said. Jesus, in Matthew, said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And the question came up in my mind, how can Peter, even full of the Holy Spirit, have a better revelation than Jesus? Because the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, Jesus, the Son of God. You get this, right? So for those of you listening online, I just had a wasp fly down and get right in my face and fly back up. How can you have a different revelation? And there can't be a contradiction in the Word of God. So what's the deal? How can one group grab a hold of this on one passage of Scripture and be at odds with another group on which Scripture they emphasize? And the answer to that is the wickedness in the heart of men and a lack of understanding. Jesus told the Pharisees, learn what this means. Jesus told the Sadducees, you do greatly err not knowing the Scripture. You know, the religious leaders of Israel, those who were teaching, said, you don't know what you're talking about. Guess what? There's a lot of people in a lot of churches that don't know what they're talking about. But the answer is to draw closer to God and let God open the door. God, give the revelation. And as I began studying the Word of God, I found out that name didn't mean what I thought it meant. It didn't mean Ron, Andrew, Steve, Carl, Debbie. That's not what it means. It means character, honor, and authority. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, talking to Jews that were scattered throughout the Roman Empire, that had come together in Jerusalem for the Passover. They come together for the feast. So he's talking to Jews that already know about the Father and the Holy Spirit. They need to know about the Son. Jesus said, when you're going to all the world, you're talking to people who have no clue, who have never been exposed to any of this. So they need to know about the character, honor, and authority of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But it's, how do we come together? How are we changed? How are our lives transformed? By getting to know who God is. By drawing close to Him, by understanding Him in His Word. We are called to be lights in the midst of darkness. We are called to be salt in this present age. We are called to be ambassadors of Christ. We can't rely on who we were. We can't rely on what we knew. I'm looking here to make sure I don't have the part from Paul where he says, I have that passage, but farther down in the passage. So, praise God. Paul says, talked about all the things that, you know, all the high points in his life before. You know, circumcised, you know, circumcised right on schedule, you know, from the right tribe, in the right group, grew up with the right people, got taught by the right ones. But he says, such things that were gained to me, I count as lost. But getting back to this, in Galatians, drop down to John, Deb. 1 John 3. We're going to bypass Galatians 2:19. First John 3, beginning with verse 1, says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God." Stop right there for just a moment. Now we read that, or I read that, "Behold, what manner of love." Now, stop and be amazed at the love of God that reached out and touched you, reached out and touched me. Behold, be amazed. Look at this wondrous thing that God loved us. To call us the children of God, to transform us from children of darkness, to bring us into His marvelous light. Be amazed, be just overwhelmed by what God has done on our behalf. Not just looking at the thing, "Behold what manner of..." No. Shine a light on it. Hit the spotlight. You read the Bible, you're reading along the Bible one day, and all of a sudden it's like there's a spotlight going right to a verse, and just that verse just seems to leap off the page. This is a verse that needs to leap off the page to us. Look at what wondrous things God has done. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us." We don't make sense to people around us. Scripture says the carnal mind is at enmity with God, as an adversary, is an opponent, is an enemy of God, because it doesn't understand. It can't comprehend. Talked about that earlier. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Heart has not understood the things that the Lord has prepared for them who love Him. If we, knowing God, can't imagine how wondrous things He has in store for us. Imagine those who none of it makes any sense. So we're called to love them. We're called to reach out to them. We're called to encourage them. We're called to come alongside them. We're called to be lights in the midst of their darkness. The world, therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Did you catch that? We don't even yet know what's coming. We can read Scripture. We can take a look at Jesus' transfiguration. He's standing there on the mountain with Moses and Elijah, and the apostles say, "Let's build 3 tabernacles here. It'll be great." Jesus said, "Mellow out, boys. Y'all don't quite understand. We don't yet know what God has in store. But we know when we see Him, we will be like Him, and we'll see Him as He is." God is still changing us. God is still working in us. We are still in transition. We have not yet reached that point. There's a passage that says, "The whole creation groans and travails until now, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God." The very creation around us is in anticipation of what God's going to do in us. Praise God. Philippians 3, beginning with verse 12. The earlier part of Philippians 3 is where Paul's talking about all the great things from the world standard he's done. But verse 12 says, "Not that I had already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold on me." You've heard the story. A parent and a child getting ready to cross the street, and the parent tells the child, "Grab my hand." And child says, no, you grab my hand. Well, why? Because if I grab your hand, I might let go. But if you grab my hand, you won't. I lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has laid a hold on me. I might slip and let go, but he won't. I might slip and fall, but he will pick me up. I might come short, but I am still in transition. And he who is perfected and working that perfection in me, working that perfection in you, won't let go. Everything we've committed into him, he is faithful to complete it. He is faithful to keep us. Jim Elliot, famous quote, he is no fool that he who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. Paul says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Getting back to this. Verse 12, not that I had already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold on me, laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. I grab onto that verse right there. That is a great verse for reaching community, reaching communion with other believers. Maybe they go to a different church. Maybe they have a different teaching that they're going on. It's like, let us, as many of us are mature, have this in mind, that God is at work in the circumstances, that he is righteous, that he is leading us on. He has grabbed a hold of us and was not let go. And we continue to press toward him. And if we're messed up, if any of you think otherwise, if we have any discrepancies in our doctrine, if there's some areas we don't understand, let God work it out. Let God reveal it. Let's come together with brothers and sisters across denominational boundaries, across barriers. Let's come together and begin finding those ways we can share and glorify God, and let God talk to the hearts of people. That I not become a stumbling block, but I become an encourager. That I not become an obstacle, but that I become a help. To let God work, to let God change us, to let God mold us. Because he is the one who's at work in us. He who began the good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Praise God. Final passage, Romans 8, beginning with verse 28. Says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Catch that? He called us. Whom he foreknew, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestined, those he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. That's a transition. That's some changing. That's being drawn closer and closer and closer into the Lord. He who began the good work is faithful to complete it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Praise God for his long-suffering. Praise God for the long suffering of God, the patience of God that has not only brought us out of darkness, but is using us to touch the lives of the people around us. People that cross our path, we either believe God is the one who directs our steps, or we believe it's all just random. I know it's not all random. God is at work directing our steps, bringing people across our path, giving us opportunities. And sometimes we succeed in the opportunities. Sometimes we recognize them from what they are. Sometimes we don't. But God is loving and patient and kind and at work in us. Praise God that He's got us in a transition. He's got us changing from glory to glory. He's got us drawing closer to Him that we might become, that we might be demonstrated to be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You, Father, that You do continue to change us, to mold us and to make us, to work in our hearts and to in our lives, Father. To teach us to do Your will, to draw us by Your Spirit, that You are the one who keeps us lest we fall. You are the one who picks us up when we do fall. And You are the one who still has the end in mind. You are the one who sees the end from the beginning. And You've called us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You've called us sons and daughters. You've called us gems. You've called us trophies. And You've called us to be, You've called us saints. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.